through tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a supplement to Colonel Speed Wilson's talk by Colonel Jim Ammerman, given August the 24th, 1997.
And others who've helped him in doing all the work that it takes to make something like this possible. I felt very comfortable from the moment I arrived right through till now, and I think you have, the weather notwithstanding. David wasn't in charge of that. And I appreciate all the speakers. I was thinking as Colonel Speed Wilson spoke, he's one of the really great spiritual patriots of our day. I hope you realize that. Still serving God and country after all these years. And I especially, Speed, appreciate you because the path that you've trod and you know, many of my friends and some of my own immediate family say, why don't you just retire and enjoy the rest of your days? I could not enjoy that knowing there was still something that perhaps I could do. And I think you feel the same way. And I'd rather, I was thinking while I was yellow sheeting some jets one time, and we had to check the afterburners. And when you hit that button in the quadrant, 50,000 pounds of thrust kicked into gear. I don't know how the Air Force yellow sheets airplanes because there's a tail hook on those Navy types that hold them down. And when you kick that in, it'd scoot the plane with the brakes on. So I don't know what the Air Force does. But I thought about that. I was a young man then working my way through seminary. And I thought, you know, I don't want to end my life in a rocking chair. I want to go out with the afterburner on for Jesus. And that's a little bit of my heart I want to share with you. Now, what we've been talking about these days really involves spiritual warfare. And you know that tremendous passage over there in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and I'll read that for you in a moment. You may want to open your Bibles where you can read along, because if you see and hear, it impresses it more on your mental faculties than otherwise. But one of the battles that we're fighting in America is in our schools. I appreciated that poem and the person that wrote it. And there's a way, and we're starting on it now, to get God back in the public schools. And that's because of the Equal Access Law, which says that, in effect for us, that if they have any kind of a club at all on a junior or senior high school campus, they must permit a Bible club. And so we're using that, and we're working with some other people to get that done. I'll give you a 1-800 number if you want more information on it. And you can call that number, and it will be answered. Students for Christ, what our office is doing concerning the chaplaincy is once three or more students say, we want a Bible club, they have to let them have that club, or else they have to close all the other clubs on that campus. And by the way, they're just this is a small undertaking, a little over 56,000 junior and senior high schools in America. And it's our only chance to take back the next generation, because a lot of those kids will never be taken to Sunday school or church. They'll probably never see a Bible, and they'll probably never have a prayer offered over them at home. But we need to get this done for our young people, and here's the 1-800 number, 242-0096. That's 242-0096. And once we get those clubs going, then you see they have a right to say, as a camera club would have someone that's an expert in photography to come and advise them, we have a right to place a minister in there, and we will give them coverage as a chaplain, as an expert on the Bible. We're going to whip the devil with his own system. That wasn't why that law was put on the books, but it's there, and we're going to take advantage of it. And the ACLU be damned. Okay, I almost spit when I say America along with Civil Liberties Union, because it's so un-American. Now, I'm going to be speaking about the clergy's responsibility, and a man that I've come to know quite well, wrote this book titled Abandonment Theology. And I get criticized because as a minister, I get involved in things that have to do with political government, civil political government. And they say that, religion and politics shouldn't mix. Well, the way this great nation came into being was because men of God spoke the word of God, and the men and women that heard him went out and came up with the things that made us a free people. And the reason that God gave us all the wealth that he did was for a purpose of his. I mentioned previously, yesterday, that we only had 6% of the landmass of the world for the United States and 6% of the natural resources. We didn't get more than our fair share. What allowed us to become the richest, most powerful nation on earth? It was a form of government that gave individuals the chance to be all they could be. And they rose to the occasion, and we became the wealthiest nation on earth. Now, God's specific spiritual part of that plan was that we, as individuals then, would give the money to carry out the Great Commission. And while we haven't done it as well as we should, we've not done it perfectly, we've done it better than anybody else. And if the preachers of the land, the ones at least who believe and preach the Bible, would stand up and proclaim the things that ought to be said about our nation and its political leaders today, we could turn this nation around by getting the people's attention, and the people could always get the politicians' attention. We do fight a spiritual battle. If you don't think that we do, go to a major library and check out the book. You may have to read it there and not check it out, called Morals and Dogma, by a man named Pike, and turn to page 240 and read three or four pages, and you'll find out who the god of this world is. It's Lucifer. And many of the organizations and those that are called spiritual organizations are Luciferian. And many of our leaders of the world worship Satan. You and I worship Almighty Jehovah God. And they're in direct opposition, and the battle line, the end-time battle lines are drawn, and they're spiritual battle lines, and it's Satan against God. Now, reading from the sixth chapter of Ephesians, starting with verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." You need to remember that in a lot of these things where there's real struggles going on today in our lives. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, you can read how we ought to take the spiritual armor, but this is a spiritual battle, and I don't hesitate to call it that everywhere I go. I want to mention some of the things that are going on right now. For instance, there are many of the church pastors in this land that are on the wrong side of the battle that's raging. They're involved in things that are directly satanic. There are people, for instance, in the Catholic Church that hold high places, high offices, that are Satan worshipers all the way to Rome. And I'm not just anti-Catholic. I'm against sin, and I'm against the devil, wherever I find it. And if it's in government and if it's in the Oval Office, then I speak out against that too. It's interesting that while the FBI has a tap on my phone, back in June, I received a call on a Tuesday morning, and you may remember in the news back then, there was a little place called Fort Davis out in West Texas where the Republic of Texas was holed up and going to have a shootout. At that time, there were three different groups that called themselves the head of the Republic of Texas. One was located right there in Dallas. One was out in Tyler in East Texas. And one was Richard McLaren and those that were with him. 13 people in all holed up there in a very small shack and a small RV trailer. And the FBI called me and said, "We know that you broadcast quite a bit, and I'm always on other people's program. I don't have a continuing program of my own. I have in bygone years, but I don't now." And they said, "We want you to go out there and just observe what's going on and then give a report over radio stations. And the thing that we want you to notice is that there are only four federal agents out there." Now, the word had been put out by the civilian militia that the feds were out there and there's going to be another massacre like Waco. And for everybody to load up their armament and head for West Texas. Well, I said, you know, there's no airlines that flies into Alpine, Texas, the nearest place that has a strip that any kind of a plane can land on. And it'll take 7 hours to drive out there. And they said, oh, this thing's heating up much too quick for that. So I got a hold of Kenneth Copeland, and he sent his jet plane over to a little executive field a mile from my house, and I was there in an hour and a half. At 9:30 that night, I had already contacted several people. The Texas troopers were there, and the Texas Rangers were in charge, and there were only four federal agents there as observers. And I gave that report because I had talked to not only the people that I mentioned, but I talked to many of the citizens out there, and the citizens were really against McLaren and Klan for this reason. He had bought a piece of land and found out that the survey was wrong and that it dated clear back to when a ranch was deeded to a rancher during the days of the Republic of Texas. So he assumed probably correctly, but the follow-on assumptions weren't correct, that the survey was wrong for everybody that bought land. And I didn't know until then that we had a mountain in Texas of 8,200 feet. Speed, maybe you knew that. I didn't know that. And so as Mount Davis, and people were buying up there at 5,000 or 6,000 feet in very pleasant weather all year round, far enough south that it very seldom snowed, and at a mile high, it very seldom got very hot. And so McLaren put a lien on everybody's little five-acre plot. And when that came to light, let me tell you, the local customers did not appreciate McLaren and Klan. They still had a phone into there, and so I called, and one of his men, it was a cellular phone, they had stopped the landlines, and a man answered named White Cloud, and he said, we won't talk to anybody, we're a sovereign nation, we'll only talk to the President of the United States or the Secretary of State. And I said, get real, man, it's not going to happen. And I tried to pacify their feelings. There was a warrant out on six of the people, the other seven could have walked away. But I got a hold of the different people and talked with them, and then got on the radio for an hour and a half. The following day, along in the afternoon, I called, and they sent the plane back out and took me home, and I got on the radio another hour. And the FBI, who monitors what I do a lot, because, you know, if they're wrong, I say the FBI is wrong. If the CIA, and I think it ought to be done away with entirely, if it's wrong, I say it's wrong. And people say, well, how do you say the things that you go around the country saying and you're still walking around alive? And I said, God is the author of life and sustainer of life. And as long as God wants me here, they can't do anything about it. Now, if that's a little bit too spiritual for you, I mean, decide this morning you're going to move over to where I am and get spiritual. This world can't lay a hand on you except through fear. And I'm not going to be afraid of anyone except the Lord God. And I don't have to fear him, because perfect love casts out fear, and I've learned to love the Lord with all my heart and obey him alone. Now, having said that, I want to go into some of the things that are going on currently right now. For instance, there are several geologists around the world of many nations that are very much aware that the continental plates are about to shift. And those that have studied the Bible, those geologists are saying everything that's talked about in the Old and New Testament about the end times and how that nature itself is going to convulse. They say that the nature is set up for what God has said in his word is going to happen in the end times. For instance, a quick summary, and one man spent a 5-year study on this, and he's up in Rochester, New York, and then he did what we call computer models. And the computer models say that if all this happens, of course I know that if it's garbage into a computer, garbage comes out, but this is the best that they can do, that the continental plates will shift to the extent that it will change the axis on which the world rotates, probably 15 degrees. And if it does that, all the seaport cities will be flooded for a time. Some of them, Florida will probably never resurface. I hate to tell you that for me to live down there. Probably never resurface. And since all of this would take place under the surface of the water and the land, and shift the Earth on its axis and would spin in a different sphere. It would cause winds, because the atmosphere would take a while to change. It would cause winds near the new equator to be up to 400 miles an hour. If you can imagine that, that'd blow not only trees down, that'd blow cities down. And so if you want to know some of the shocking things in the book of Revelation and other places that can happen, the geologists say that it's about to happen. And of course, I always ask the question, and Speed said this morning, people always want to know when. They want to know how. And so my question was, when? And they said, geologically speaking, almost immediately. Now, very near at hand geologically is 200 or 300 years. And I said, well, what does almost immediate mean? And they said, within 10 years. Said, that's very soon. It's imminent in geological terms. It could be from a month to 9.5 years away. Well, that is quick at hand. And that would change all of our plans. And as one of them said laughingly, he said, all the one-worlders, New Agers, and elitists are going to have their plans changed, because this is going to happen. Now, one of the men that I since have met, but he called me a long distance, because he was a part of Cheyenne Mountains, satellites and all, the National Space Agency out there in Colorado Springs. And you know, my mind still has to adjust to this when you think about doing something but satellite that's under the surface of the land. But that's a high-tech day that we're in. And so I like to test people a little bit to see if I want to believe them. And I said, well, I guess if that's about to happen, then you're really checking about the fault, the San Andreas Fault out in California. And that's a major concern. They said, yes, that's a major concern, but it's not the big one. The big one's the one down the Mississippi River Basin, known as the New Madrid Fault, after the town down in the Boot Heel, the southeast corner of Missouri, which is my native birth state, because that's the one that's going to do the most damage. And I had worked for an Army engineer general who had been in charge of the study to develop what could be the worst-case scenario. And quickly, the worst-case scenario would split the United States in two parts, creating a Grand Canyon down the Mississippi Basin, a second Grand Canyon, drain the Great Lakes into the Gulf of Mexico, and literally destroy our way of life. Because, you see, all the infrastructure would be broken between the east and west halves, as the United States would be divided. The major population would be on the east side of that, but the major food would be grown on the west side. Before they could get the roads and the bridges and the pipelines and all put back together, people would starve on the east side. For instance, in the first quake, the devastation would be so bad, because that whole basin silts, and all the cities, St. Louis and so forth, are built on a silt basis. That's why Mexico City had such a devastating earthquake. Memphis, they would expect in the first quake 200,000 people to be killed. What a horrible scenario. And yet something like this is ahead of us. So when I talk about the things that men may do to us, let me tell you, when God gets ready to shake his world, men are going to find out that they're very helpless and powerless, even if they do run the world at the present time. Now, something else that's going on is the underground cities that are already built for the elite or the VIPs in the American and world power structure. There are so many of these in America that I can't keep track of them. You know, Ted Turner owns 600,000 acres in New Mexico alone, and he has a couple of underground cities there. There's an underground city for President Bush, and Rockefeller has a home up there, and underneath those homes, Dick Cheney, former Secretary of Defense, and others are up there around Jackson, Wyoming, and they have a 9-story underground city, and these are not mole holes. These are fancy underground cities, 9 stories deep. I had a call recently, about 90 days ago, from a man that said he was a United States citizen living in Perth, Australia. He said that he'd been an FBI agent until... I said, tell me about yourself. You know, he's just a voice on the end of the telephone. Tell me about yourself. And he said, well, I'm a former FBI agent that got so sick and tired of what I saw going on that I couldn't take it anymore. And I wanted to go to a place where maybe I could live out my days in peace. And he said, now they're taking the guns away from us down here, so we know that slavery's next. And I've had that confirmed by many different sources, reputable ones, both Australian and American. And as he talked, he said, you know that there's quite a few American military down here. And I said, well, I knew there was in December when our president was there, but tell me about it. He said, at that time, there were 25,000 U.S. Marines down there. I know the Commandant of the Marine Corps personally, Charles C. Krulak. He was down there because a great portion of the Marine force was there. And then they've reduced it now to 7,000. And this former FBI agent said, you know, they're not taking the guns away. They had an amnesty period from December through 31 March that people could give their turn in their guns with no questions asked. Following that, if they turn them in now or if they are taken away, there's a four-year prison term and a $100,000 fine. And I said, well, I didn't realize just what it was. I knew there was a penalty attached. And he said, our United States Marines are not helping take them away, but as a foreign military force, the people here know that the foreign military will shoot them quicker than their own military. And that's one of the dangers of these several thousands, tens of thousands of foreign troops on American soil. And we need to understand that. But as one good friend of mine, who's an East Texas redneck, says, they ought to realize that we'll shoot the foreign troops quicker than we would our own. So you see, it's a two-way street. Well, I went ahead with this American that was living there at Perth. And he said, well, you know about the underground city here. And I did not know about it at that time. And I said, tell me about it. And he told me when he finished, he said, they're furnishing it. It's completed and finished just outside of Perth there in the desert. That's in Western Australia. I said, give me some references in America. I want to check you out. And he said, you might begin with my father who lives in Dallas. He's a retired Air Force colonel. Well, when I hung up, I called his father. And his father answered the phone, and I told him who I was. I didn't tell him I'd been talking with someone in Australia. I said, do you have a son? He said, I have two here with me now. And I said, are those your only sons? He said, oh, no. Said, we were just having a family prayer meeting, and it finished as the phone rang because we hadn't heard from our son in Perth, Australia recently. I said, would you like a recent word like 2 minutes ago? And he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, I just got off the phone with him. I'm checking up on him, the validity of, is he who he said he was? He said, well, he used to work for the FBI, but he got tired of that and went to Australia. Now, isn't that an interesting thing? And it doubly blessed me because they were a Christian family. Now, I've been in touch with him. He calls me now and then. But not only that, I was in a meeting. I was asked by a man in California that I've known for a long time if I would come out there and do some speaking. And then the last day I was there, and I do this once in a while, I've done it all my life, meet with some people and do a 24-hour marathon where you don't go to bed, you just brainstorm some things and see what comes out. And so seven of us met together from noon till noon. We intended to start at 8 in the morning, but the man in whose home we were meeting had to go back to court. He had just found out a way, a man had helped him do it, and he had his $2.5 million mortgage canceled on his home. Doesn't have to pay it. Because the mortgage system in America's banking system under the Federal Reserve violates 13 federal laws, and there's a group that's getting together and canceling mortgages. Now, I know that the people that own the Federal Reserve are going to have them killed, but until then, maybe we could get far enough along, we could destroy the Federal Reserve system, and I'm all for destroying that thing. Speed, you were talking at the previous hour about our money is only numbers. Let me tell you, there's a group of people, and I know two different groups, and I've just put them in touch with each other. They're both doing the same thing, and I happen to meet members of each one, whereby they're going to do some offshore banking, and they can do it by numbers. In the state of Texas right now, for instance, by numbers, instead of issuing bonds, and I also found out Colorado is studying this, whereas collateral for money to be entered in the ledger, and that's all that our money is, you just numbers go into the bank's business there, that they will mortgage the state road system. But instead of issuing bonds, they just say the road system's worth so much, they make an entry to that amount, and then they draw against it. Well, there's some people, some Christians have figured out a way to do that in offshore banking, and there's no limit to how many times the worth of a house you can mortgage. And I found that, you know, I'm learning a lot of things. And I thought, well, really, can that be true? And I was in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and an ad came on the TV, and it said, this mortgage company is willing to give you a second mortgage on the equity of your house for up to 125% of the value of your house. And I thought, man, am I getting my eyes open to some things? I don't know what all it means, but it validated what the Christians had said they could do through other banking. And they could mortgage your house the second time, and they said, we're going to do this for Christians only and turn money loose to get God's work done in a hurry. I can hardly wait to see what's just ahead. I'm meeting with some of these people here week after next. And I've already arranged contacts for them in different regions of the United States. But there's many ways to do things. There's whole new dimensions of science released. I met with three scientists here recently. They asked to meet with me. And they had plans there so far beyond anything I understood. But I understood part of what they were doing. They had sold one of their inventions for $7 million and gave all the money to God's work. And then they said, we have, and they had the drawings there. They said, we have put this little motor generator before ABC, NBC, and all the other ABCs and did a demonstration. They were supposed to do a composite and release it, and the petroleum industry blocked it where it wouldn't get there because this little motor was big as your hand, the engine that drove the generator, big as two fists, and ran off of air with no pollution and would provide all the electricity you'd need perpetually for an average-sized house. And they said Red China had offered them $9 billion for it. But they said, we're not going to sell it to our enemy. We just have to block the enemy within, the big business, and the petroleum industry to get this thing on the market. And I said, they'd made an appointment with me. They wanted a full day, and I could only give them 4 hours. I was on a speaking circuit. I said, why are you telling me this? And here's the ghastly thing they told me. They said, well, we gave the $7 million to 103 ministers and ministries. And how many of them do you think expanded their work for the Lord? And how many of them bought bigger houses and cars and airplanes? And I said, well, probably the majority didn't do too well. They said only three expanded the kingdom's work, and the other 100 used it selfishly. And I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. And I said, but why are you telling me this? And they said, we've checked you out. We know that you know hundreds of ministers and ministries, and you're a man that believes in living frugally. You know, we live on less than half our income and give half of it away. We've done that. I've always given a third of my income away, even when I was a lieutenant with a wife and four children. I said, God deserves half of everything I have. My whole life belongs to Him. And I've been audited by the IRS, and they say, why do you give away so much money? And I say, well, if God is worth my whole life, He's worth the pittance of my money. And that really rocks them back on their heels. Of course, I refuse to talk to anybody but the district director. I don't talk to some clerk. And the way you get to do that, you get a hold of the head of the Internal Revenue Service, get a number and get an appointment number, and then you call up and you say to the regional office, now either I talk to the top man or I go to Washington, and you give him that number and suddenly say, you got an appointment. When did you want to come? And so I walk in there. I did this the first time in uniform. I was still on duty, in fact, two times. And I walked in and I said, now let's get something straight, Mr. District Director. You're working for me today. I pay your salary. Do we understand each other? And I said, now if there's a war, I'll go out and fight and die if necessary to serve you and other citizens, die for you. But today you're working for me. And I want you to do it right and want to get it done quick. And I've never had to pay a penny. I mean, I don't go in there with my hat in my hand, all embarrassed. I go in there because I know who I am. I'm an American free citizen.
So we need to understand those things. And there's a whole new dimension of science that's releasing things that will probably let us have energy that won't pollute a thing. Now, we may not be able to see all this kick in until Christ gets back on earth. But I'll tell you, it's ready now, and that's another part of being ready for his coming. Well, let me hasten on with a few other things. There are 30 families that have just left Colorado Springs that every one of them had one or more family members working in Cheyenne Mountain, who NORAD was headquartered there. And it's the same place that, they told all of our vehicles in Desert Storm where they were by satellite. They couldn't get lost. They had a little black box aboard those tanks and so forth. And they could just get a message and put an X at that coordinates, and that's where they were, in the middle of the sand of that desert. So 30 families out there because they're dealing with what's going to happen to America. Now, I know a man that today is a Messianic Jew and going around speaking. If you want his name, I'll tell you what it is now. It's Monty Judah. Some of you may have heard Monty Judah speak. If you get a chance, go hear him. And until about a dozen years ago, he was an electronics technician for all the high-tech stuff in Cheyenne Mountain. And he quit because while he'd be working on the machines, he would hear them talk. And the top people there were saying, whatever we do, we must not let the American people know all the plans that are being made for their destruction. They're supposed to be taking care of us, and they're planning to kill us. And so 30 families... And I'm not going to how I found out about this. A friend of mine helped them dispose of their stuff because they were leaving and they left. They left on Thursday, the 3rd of July, at the close of business because they'd have 3.5 days head start to go where they were going, and the government couldn't catch them till they got there. And they were not being debriefed from the secrets that they dealt with every day. And here's why they said they were leaving. They said what was soon to happen, and that's why they were leaving, to spare themselves and their families of what's immediately ahead of the United States, would change America as we now know it and kill up to half the citizens. Now, that's a shocker. And the only way I could think of they'd do that would be through biological agents, because I don't think that this is our own government, our own powerful people in America. And they would not want to destroy the wealth of America. They'd want to keep it. And since we don't have the neutron bombs, we said that was unethical, so we do worse things than that. Then you'd use biological agents. Also, you couple with that what was in the spotlight, and I can talk about it now. It was classified, and I couldn't talk about it. But the third issue back of Spotlight tells about the classified annexes to State Department 7277 publication that was put out in September 1961, where the way to have peace in the world was to, if necessary, unilaterally disarm the United States. And we virtually destroyed our military, and don't let anyone kid you about that. But the classified annexes to that tells how it's going to be phased in, and the date that all the VIPs are to be in their safe places. And there's underground cities for Americans in Scotland as well as in Australia and here in the United States, is not later than 1 April 1998. And I had a call recently from a man who works in a classified library, and he said that date is being negotiated earlier than next April. And you say, well, these are terrifying thoughts. Yes, they are, but I want to tell you something. Don't ever forget, God's on the throne. He'll declare what happens. And, how would you like to be a mole scared down in a hole 5 to 9 stories deep when God starts shaking the world? When the continental plate starts shifting? I'd rather be right up here where I am now. Be the safest place you could be. Folks, the devil doesn't help his people. Oh, he may help them. I believe that Clinton has supernatural help from the devil. I believe if he didn't have that kind of protection, he'd already been in prison, not just out of the Oval Office. He's done enough things to be thrown out and to be tried, impeached and indicted, and Hillary even worse. But the devil helps his people, but he always helps them, and then he destroys them. And so that's what's going to happen in the end times, where God, when He helps His people, He truly helps those that are His. Now, let me say this. God may tell one of you, and this has already been touched on this morning, one of you to do one thing and another to do another thing, and both of you may have heard from God, and you ought to do what God tells you to do. I have two different families that have considerable money that have a nice place waiting for me, one on a lake down in near San Antonio and one in the mountains, saying, we've got a house for you and your family, including your kids and your grandkids. And they just redecorated the one down there. And the basement goes back into a rock cave, and there's enough supplies and all there to last us through 7 years of tribulation. And they said, why don't you come on down? And I said, God hasn't told me to. He has not told me to. If He tells me to, I will, but I kind of doubt that He will. Because, you know, I'm a spiritual type A personality, and it'd kill me to go down there and hole up, you know, get in a hole and pull it in after me. That's not my idea of occupying until Jesus comes. And I want to be on the front line of what God wants done. But for you, if that's what God tells you to do, then you hasten and do it. And I'll not criticize you, and I don't want you to criticize me. I'll pray for you, and I hope you'll pray for me. See, you may have a different mission than the person sitting next to you. You probably do, because God very seldom duplicates missions. We have strength and depth, but economy of force, this is a military term, says that we don't lump it all in one place and let it be neglected somewhere else. You put it where it needs to be, and God is the best personnel manager and force manager in the universe. So if He tells you to do something, you do it. And this is a time we must pray and hear God and obey. I was present with a small group of about 100 ministers when Young Yi Cho was speaking one time, 3 or 4 years ago. And he threw it open, his small enough group, he could throw it open for questions. And one young minister there stood and said, Dr. Cho, how is it that God has used you for all the great things that have happened? The greatest church in the world. He's an influence in the government of his nation, as preachers ought to be, if they stand with God. And here's this man, and he spoke about like a kindergarten child in answer to that, such an humble thing. He said, I hear and I obey. Folks, that's the key to successful life. That's the key to being a winner for the Lord. And don't ever forget that. Now, let me touch on a few other things that we need to get with. First of all, when you have a totalitarian government, you have a dictator take over, and we're virtually under a dictator, not only the president by executive orders, but by federal judges who do not pay any attention to the Constitution, and they are writing law as well as judging under the law, and most of them are not under the law. They violated that even, but they become dictators. And when they're allowed to dictate, as Barefoot Sanders does in Dallas, as to how the state of Texas will run its schools and how we will pay taxes to support his school system, then he has become a dictator. And our president has become a dictator. He's issued more executive orders than any previous president. And when you have someone that wants to take over as a totalitarian, a potentate, they always have a target group that they bring everyone else to bear upon. Hitler did it, and it was the Jews. In the United States, Christians are the target group. And we will be the ones that will be victimized, used to get the majority of the population to agree to come against us, and their attention will be there, not on the fact that they're losing their own freedoms. So if you think that you can just be a nice, quiet little person and not have any problems in the future, I'll tell you, you're already in danger. Now, I want to say something else, and this is a pretty strong statement, but I want you to begin to look around, and you'll see it's true. We are already today under a national police state. There is a national police force. I know people that have been trained for it. They have a separate ID card, they have a separate badge, a separate patch to go on their uniform. They're on the payroll right now, different city police forces. But there is already a national police force contrary to our Constitution. I want to go a step further and say we're already under martial law because the U.S. military is being used against citizens at will without warrants, day or night. 44 of our American cities have already had practice invasions. Only a few of them, three or four, made the news. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, not too far from here, was invaded. New Orleans has been invaded. Mobile, Alabama has been invaded. Charleston, South Carolina was one of the last ones. Charlotte, North Carolina. And different ones like that. St. Petersburg, Florida. But you see, there's a total of 44. And every one of those is an unconstitutional thing. And it's done under the Special Operations Group at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Four-star general now has been appointed to that job. It's been really upgraded. I can remember when it was a one-star. Now it's a four-star headquarters. And one of their sub-headquarters is Fort Campbell. And I went to Fort Campbell and talked with the commander that pulled off the raid on Pittsburgh and on New Orleans. It was on Houston. The Marines pulled the one on New Orleans. Now, here's what they did in New Orleans. They practiced taking over one of the five major telephone switching stations in the United States. There's already, by FCC regulations, that every radio and TV station has to have a black box that costs $10,000 installed at their expense. This was true as of 1 January this year. And that can be turned off by FEMA, Federal Emergency Management Agency Tactical Headquarters, which is an underground city at Mount Weather, just west of the Pentagon a ways. It can be turned off there, or it can be turned off from the Oval Office. Now, follow this thing. Now, as of 1 July, the same thing has to be done on all our cable stations. And if there are only five major long-distance switching places in the United States, if they can practice an invasion of a city and take one, they can take five. Suddenly you have no radio, no TV, and no long-distance telephones, and you'll only receive what Goebbels gave out for Hitler. It's already set up to do it, folks, and it could begin any moment, even while we're sitting here and I'm speaking. We're that far along into this. And we'd better realize this is the time that we'd better look to God. We'd better get our act together, and we'd better obey whatever He says for us to do. Now, additionally, let me tell you what's about to happen. 15 different nations have agreed to go on a cashless economy by January. All of the British Commonwealth nations are in on this, as well as Singapore and some others. And It's the smart card is coming out under a company name, Modex. And Modex was set into motion by the Windsor Banking Trust, which is the royal family of England. And the day before this was announced, the United States MasterCard Company bought a 51% interest in Modex. So that tells me that we're the 16th nation that's going to be on the smart card, a cashless society. And you cannot buy nor sell without that smart card. Now, don't say that that's the mark of the beast. It'll accomplish the same thing. But we're about to be under a totally controlled society. I also have, and in that packet of information, you know, it's interesting that these one-worlders, these globalists, are so sure that nothing can stop them, and the United Nations is sure that nothing can stop them. The United Nations has published a book by the communist Oxford University Press called Our Global Neighborhood. You can buy it for $14.95, 410 pages telling how they're going to control the world. The other one-worlders are making their plans. The Wall Street Journal, published a 1/4-page article on how food is to be controlled. And one of the ways they can control us, in addition to our money, and the smart card will do that, is through food. And they've already got us to a place that we don't have natural seeds where... Now, some people are smart enough, and I happen to be one of them. I have some natural seeds that can grow. They're not hybrids. But some of these hybrids, I call them mule seeds. You know, a mule can't reproduce. And those hybrid seeds can't reproduce, and you don't have a generic seed. And so, therefore, they could stop our food production in a minute because there's only a few seed sources that all our farmers go to get their seeds. So we're totally under the control of some very, very evil people. But remember again, God is still on the throne. And it would only take, I really believe, that if 5% of Americans, and certainly there's more than that that are born-again Bible-believing people, but if 5% of Americans that love the Lord would get serious with 2 Chronicles 7:14, God would pay attention to that 5% more than the 95% otherwise. And not only that, but in that passage it says, if my people, God doesn't deal with a nation according to the unborn spiritual. He deals with it according to the newborn spiritual people. If my people, those that are born again, will carry out what he says there, we can turn this nation around because the blessing of God can be ours. Now, I know this, that there are enough Bible-believing Christians in America to tilt every election. You see, a certain percent, about 40%, they tell us, will vote one way and 40% the other way. Well, we have enough of a percentage. We only need 11%, and we can change every election. Most states and certainly every federal election. So it comes back to this. The onus, the burden, is on us who are Christians. And those who are supposed to be the spiritual leaders, the pastors, instead of fleecing the flock, they need to feed the flock and inform the flock and call this nation, call the Christians in this nation, and therefore determine the course of the nation and point back to God, because this is a nation under God, and God gave us this nation. Now, I conclude what I'm saying this morning with these remarks. You know, every one of us need to ask ourselves, and we need to be honest in it. We can lie to ourselves. We can fool ourselves. Am I a part of the answer, or am I a part of the problem? Spiritually, let's just get this thing right over where it is, because it's a spiritual battle. God knows all about us. Am I, in the sight of God, one of the people that can call out to God and bring down a blessing, or am I living to where a part of the wrath of God must come upon this nation? And I leave you with that decision to be made, to make sure that you're going to be a part of God's solution and answer for our nation. And if there's anything in your life, make it real personal, anything in your life that would prevent the blessing of God on you and on our nation, don't you go to sleep tonight till that condition's changed.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.